Welcome into the In the Money podcast from KeenelandSelect.com for Preakness Day, Saturday, May 16th at Laurel Racecourse this year. 1 year deal there. It'll be back at Pimlico next year. Tom Leach along with Jim Goodman, Keeneland's Director of Wagering Development. We're going to take a look at the late pick four that ends with the Grade 1 Preakness, which is the 13th race on the card. We'll start in race 10, the Grade 3 Dinner Party. These first three legs all on the turf, and then the Preakness on the dirt. So the Dinner Party's three-year-olds and up, mile and an eighth on the grass. And how'd you see it, Jim?
I actually like the fact that those three on the turf, because I think they're a little bit easier to handicap than the Preakness is going to be, but we'll see.
Yep.
First one in particular, the Dinner Party only drew seven horses, but it's got there are three horses in here that are really hard to separate. And just because of the morning line, and I think the price that you'll probably get on Fort Washington, I'm going to go with a Shug McGahey trainee. Fort Washington ran the Canadian turf at Gulfstream last time out in February. Didn't run that well. Got beat four lengths in a grade three, but the time before that, he was only 2.5 lengths off of it in the grade one on Pegasus Day. So has shown the ability to run buyers in the high 90s, which is what you're going to need to win this probably. And I think Fort Washington, first time Laurel, you don't know how he's going to react there, but a lot of experience. Shug McGahey is extremely good at getting him ready. So I'm going to take Fort Washington on top with Alvarado riding for Shug and hopefully beating the two obvious choices. The two obvious choices are Cruz Denial for Graham Motion, the three horse, on a four-race win streak, including one at Laurel. And they obviously ran this horse at Laurel on the 18th of April to get ready for this one in a listed stakes. Just barely won that race, though. Went off at 6-5, so I don't think that he wasn't cranked. But that's just, he hasn't had a layoff. He's run consistently since November of 25. So I think Cruz Denial may have hit his peak there, and I don't know that he's going to move forward. And Fort Washington has obviously faced a lot tougher competition in the past. Dresden Row is the other horse for Todd Pletcher, and Flavian Pratt takes this mount, coming off a very impressive win at Keeneland at $150,000 allowance race on April the 8th. So that was his second race in a row. Woodbine won on synthetic with a 97 buyer. He's run 98 in the past, so I think he's going to be right there. That's the ones I stopped with. I thought that those three were a good start to the pick four. The other one I would use if I was going to go four deep is a Bourbon for Toby for Tom Morley, simply because I read Ortiz takes this mount. And the horse ran at Keeneland, won an allowance race on April 3rd, and then came back on May 7th at Aqueduct and lost an obstacle 80 and went back on a little bit of short rest here. So not sure if this horse is going to come back on 8 days rest and run well, but or 9 days rest, I guess. Hasn't done that in the past, and he may scratch out here. So I'm just going to use those three, hoping to get through the first leg of the pick four.
I went with Dresden Row on top. Just the impressive win and the fact that it was the first time with the Pletcher barn. Maybe they've unlocked something with this horse to take him to a higher level. Multiple grade three winners, seven wins, 5 seconds, 4/3 for 16 starts, so really consistent. So I took that one on top, but I'll go three deep in the pick four, Cruz the Nile with the winning streak for Motion. But I'm like you, kind of think he might be more likely to come up short than to win, but got to have him on the ticket. And then Fort Washington, seven wins, grade one winner, Shug McGahey, a lot to like about that one. I just kind of lean to Dresden Row, really probably over Fort Washington and then Cruz the Nile because Dresden Row running so well first time for Pletcher. 11th race is the grade three Gallarette, fillies and mares three and up, mile and a 16th on the turf. Kind of like the accent in here. Four starts, three wins for Chad Brown. Horse was stuck in a box last time in her stakes debut. I watched the replay and didn't really get a chance to run until late. They're switching to Pratt. The great rider switch there for a turf stake. So I think Accent is going to have a big shot in this with a lot of upside left to tap into. Child of the Moon for Chad Brown also is facing softer, I think, than she faced in the race at Keeneland. So that could be the ticket to get her to the winner's circle. Austere could certainly win this, second off the layoff, and has kept some good company as well for Brendan Walsh. And then Ribaldaggia, if that's how that's pronounced, for Motion. and has faced some good ones. So Graham Motion well represented in the stakes races throughout the big days at Laurel this weekend. But I like Accent on Top in the Gallarette. How about you?
I've got a check mark around those three horses, plus I've got two more in here. So there's only eight, so you can figure out if I'm going to use five out of the eight, I'm probably going to go a little bit deeper when we get to pick four. I like the horses that you mentioned, but I also like Austin Peck on the outside. Santana takes this one off of a race at Gulfstream where he ran on the synthetic and got beat a length and a quarter. Another horse in this race, Warming, was in the same race for Graham Motion. Both those horses are going to be longer shots in here, but I think both of them have a shot to win. Austin Peck has run in the 90s before. Almost won the Cardinal at Churchill back in November, coming off a little bit of a layoff. But I think he fits as well as anybody else in here. The two Chad Browns look pretty much the same to me. Child of the Moon and Accent. It would surprise me with either one of those won. Revoltaglia for Graham Motion. You got to use because of Graham Motion. You didn't mention Mara's Love for Michelle Nehi on the inside. 15-1 for Luis Saez. Horse had decent form overseas, has won three races, and then the two races over here, the second one especially, they had a prep race at Laurel for this one at a mile, and only got beat by nose, and Rivaltagia comes out of the same race, and Mara's Love actually beat that horse. If you can get 15-1 on Luis Saez in a wide-open race, you better take it. So I'm going to go deep in here. I don't have a strong opinion on the race at all.
Next is the 12th race, the Jim McKay Turf Sprint, 5.5 on the turf track. They'll use the second finish line, so a longer stretch run for the turf sprints, the way Laurel's configured. It's 3-year-olds and up. How'd you see it?
Well, I do have an opinion on this one. I really like Chasing Liberty in here with that Red Ortiz picking up the mount. Outlaw Kid beat this one in the prep race back in April at Laurel, exactly the same distance. And Chasing Liberty was getting there at the end and only got beat by a neck. Outlaw Kid was a good closer that day, too. But I'm going from Cruz to Ired Ortiz, and Ruiz is keeping them out, a Laurel jockey there that's a good jockey. But Ired Ortiz has got to be worth more than a neck. So Chasing Liberty is going to beat Outlaw Kid here, just based on the jockeys and the way that the last race was run. I think it comes down to those two. And I'm going to take Chasing Liberty on top here. Run Curtis Run from Mike Maker on the inside. Had a race at Churchill where he almost broke through with an optional $100,000 allowance race on April 26th. Determined Kingdom for Jose Ortiz has run 97 in the past at Saratoga at this distance and is a 5.5 furlong distance specialist with 10 wins in 20 races at this distance. But the Laurel race that he came back in, Outlaw Kid and Chasing Liberty were first and second. Obviously, he needed the race, but he's got a 7.5 length depth to make up of those two, so I'm not going to use him. So Chasing Liberty very strongly in the 12th race here.
I took Run Curtis Run on top. I thought this horse got to his peak form last fall for Mike Maker, and then in the 2026 debut at Churchill, ran a good second, really strong gallop out. I think his style coming from out of it fits the configuration of the track for these turf sprints with more time, more space in the stretch. And you know, just the fact that Maker's shipping this horse up from Kentucky to run in a stake in Maryland, it's maybe a bit of a class test against these, but I thought Run Curtis Run could maybe surprise them in here. I'm like you, I'd take Chasing Liberty over Outlaw Kid in the rematch. That's who I had second, was Chasing Liberty. Just bet him that day at Laurel, and he just got nailed at the wire by Outlaw Kid. So got to have both of those two on the ticket, but I would rank Chasing Liberty higher. And then the other one I'm going to use is Izzy Vungu Vungu for Graham Motion. Coming off a layoff, Motion puts this horse in a stake there in his home area and gets Johnny V to ride. And if this horse could get back to the level that he was at in 2024, the numbers then would stack up well in here. And so this one kind of looks like a trainer angle play for me and using Graham Motion in that one. So I'll go four deep on my pick four ticket. 13th race is the Grade 1 Preakness, second jewel of the Triple Crown at 1 3/16. And at Laurel, it's a fairly short run into the first turn. Then in the stretch, they'll finish at the first finish line. but the stretch run is still equivalent to what it was at Belmont Park before the renovations there, and a little shorter than what it would have been at Pimlico, but still enough room in the stretch. So I just really struggled with who to put on top in this race. I finally ended up with The Hell We Did. Went back and watched the Lexington Stakes, and I thought Trendsetter was very impressive in there. He didn't come back and run as well as I would have hoped last weekend in New York. But The Hell We Did, first time out this year, ran a 92 buyer, winning at seven or six furlongs at Sunland Park. Then goes two turns for the first time in the Lexington Stakes and went regressed on the buyer scale. But this horse is half to Senior Buscador, so there's no reason to think this horse will not like long distances. And I think I like that angle sometimes for a three-year-old running a lifetime best off the bench, regress second time out, and then bounce back to an even higher number third time out. And that's kind of the angle I'm playing for this horse. The Lexington Stakes has been a pretty good Preakness prep over the recent time. I like the way this horse finished the Lexington Stakes. Saw him kind of, you know, just his fourth lifetime start, kind of learning, doing something new, running a two-turn race, and looked like he might not get to second. And then by the time they got to the last 16th, was pulling away from the third-place horse. So, and I like Sias staying with the mount. So Todd Fincher's certainly capable of shipping one and winning a big race. Did it with Senior Buscador. So The Hell We Did for me over Ocelli at 94 in the Derby was a significant improvement. I talked to Randy Moss of NBC, who's part of the buyer team, and he said that, you know, that's the question for a big question for the Preakness. Did Ocelli genuinely improve, or did he just benefit from favorable circumstances to get the bigger buyer number? And Randy was leaning toward the fact that he thinks the horse maybe has just improved, because he said he talked to some trainers that are friends at Churchill during Derby week, and they were really impressed with how Ocelli looked, and he looked like a horse that was thriving. So I tend to think the improvement is legit for Ocelli. But, you know, he's seven start maiden. I'm not going to get anywhere near the price you would have gotten in the Derby, so I'm not going to take him on top. Incredibolt is a nice horse that merits respect, but not a great post there in the 12 hole. Iron Honor I'm just mainly using because it's Chad Brown. I'm not as high on the horse's win chances, but Chad has done this a couple of times, bypassing the Derby with a horse and winning the Preakness. And then Taj Mahal down on the inside. I just think that one didn't beat much in the races that he's been winning at Laurel, but did it very impressively. Sharp trainer. And in case he's as good as he looked last time, I'm going to have him on my ticket. And, you know, there were others. Chip Honcho, I'm not sure, wants this much distance. You know, some others, Great White, I considered her a little bit. I think he could improve. Corona de Oro ran third in the Lexington. He could certainly improve and be in the mix. But I ended up with The Hell We Did on top. Who did you put there on top?
I'm going seven deep. I didn't use your horse, so that ought to tell you how wide open this is. I mean, I considered him, but I'm using Corona de Oro as one of my horses because I think that the Lexington was a decent race, and Trendsetter is a good horse, and they both finished roughly three lengths behind. I just think Corona de Oro, with Saez staying on your horse is a good sign, but Johnny V taking Corona de Oro, nothing against BJ Hernandez, but I love Johnny V as a rider in a big race. So I think Johnny V taking this mount for Dallas Stewart is a huge deal for Corona de Oro. And the 30-1, I don't think you're going to get that. I think no. This race is going to be really, really crazy betting race. And I would never have tried to do the morning line because I couldn't have given any of these horses 9-2 like they gave Iron Honor. I guess mathematically the favorite's probably going to be around 5-1. I wouldn't bet any of these horses at 5-1 in this race. I think it's just a wide open, who knows. The horses that came out of Derby, Ocelli and Incredible, ran good races, but they basically passed tiring horses, extremely tiring horses. I don't think you're going to get that at the Preakness. I don't think you're going to have that hot pace up front. And that's why I like Corona de Oro. I don't know that there's a couple of horses. Napoleon Solo is probably going to go to the lead, but I think Corona de Oro might be one of the speediest ones in here. And I don't see a speed duel, it's going to be as big a collapse as it was the Derby. So therefore, I'm going to use Othelli. I don't think he's a great shot to win. I don't think Tip Honcho is a great shot to win. The Louisiana Derby was extremely bad for him after a really good race in the Risen Star. Iron Honor for Chad Brown and Napoleon Solo for Chad Summers both come out of the Wood Memorial, which Albus is certainly no great shape there. So I don't think the Wood's a very tough race. So what are you left with? I think you're left with Taj Mahal, who is a Laurel specialist, 3-for-3 at Laurel, and Brittany Russell is an extremely good trainer that nobody knows about outside of the Mid-Atlantic, but she's a really good trainer. Taj Mahal has got speed, obviously, on the inside, and then he's going to go, and he may go all the way, but I just doubt that he's just a big step up in class for him from the listed stakes race. As you can tell, I don't have a clue who's going to Preakness. I'm going to take 7 of them. I wouldn't laugh at somebody who took all of them, because nobody would be a complete shock in here. I think it's that wide open.
All right, pick 4 tickets. Mine cost $60. I did 3, 4, 6 in the dinner party. I had to narrow down somewhere, so I chose to do it in the Gallarette using Just Accent and Child of the Moon. Be sweating to get through that leg. The 4 I mentioned in the Jim McKay, 1, 4, 7, and 8. And then in the Preakness, the 5 horses I mentioned are the 5 I'm going to use, 1, 2, 7, 9, 12. So 3, 4, 6 with 3, 7 with 1, 4, 7, 8 with 1, 2, 7, 9, 12, $60. How did you put your ticket together?
Well, mine's a little simpler to put together, but it's $84. Same 3 horses in the first leg, 3, 4, 6 with all, with 4 singling, with 1, 2, 6, 9, 10, 11, 12 in the Preakness, $84.
Yeah, if you can find the horse, the single in the sequence that you really like, that would make life a lot easier in building multi-race tickets on this card Saturday. Really nice card at Laurel for Preakness Day. Make sure you have your Keeneland Select account funded. If you have a low balance, boost that thing up so you're ready for the big card on Saturday. We'll be back next week for another edition of the podcast. For Jim Goodman, I'm Tom Leach. Good luck from the End of Money podcast for KeenelandSelect.com.